a sign of iman because it shows from our perspective, our need, mankind's need, the Muslim's need of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it shows and it reminds us of Allah's infinite power, and that He is the only one who truly can answer our prayers, answer our dua, and remove for us whatever difficulty it is that we are in, or grant to us that which we are supplicating. Because to Allah belong the treasures of the heavens and the earth, and to Allah everything is possible. We see from the story of Adam and Iblis, from Adam and the devil, that their response, each one of them was given an order, and each one of them failed in that order. But the response by each one of them was very different. With Adam alayhi salam, we find that when he was ordered, along with his wife, not to eat from the tree, not to eat the fruit from the tree, and they ate it, they immediately turned to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in dua. And the dua is recorded in the Quran, رَبَّنَا ظَلَمْنَا أَنفُسَنَا وَإِنْ لَمْ تَغْفِرْ لَنَا وَتَرْحَمْنَا لِنُقُونَنَّ مِنَ الْخَاسِرِينَ. Our Lord, we have wronged ourselves, and if you do not have mercy upon us, if you do not forgive us, we will be among the losers. So this was his response, immediately, recognizing his fault, recognizing his mistake, and making dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah answered his dua, and Allah gave him that which he looked for, which was his forgiveness and his mercy. Iblis on the other hand, Satan on the other hand, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala informs us, Aba wastakbar. He was from amongst the arrogant. He was too arrogant to make dua. He was too arrogant to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for forgiveness. And because of these two mirror images, we have Adam alayhi salam having received the forgiveness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and we have Iblis, we have Satan having achieved the curse of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon him. So dua for the Muslim is the very first port of call. It is the very first thing that he or she turns to in times of need and in times of difficulty. Let me repeat that. Dua, supplication, asking Allah is the very first thing that the Muslim resorts to in time of need and in time of difficulty. Not the last thing. I often have conversations with brothers and sisters with regards to the turmoil and the difficulty that we are in. And I advise them and I advise myself, as this is the advice of the scholars, make dua. Make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And their response in many instances is dua. What is dua going to do for us? Brother, we need action. We need to do things. And we find that we have turned to everyone except Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to resolve our difficulties. We have turned to the UN. We have turned to Europe. We have turned to NATO. We have turned to America. We have turned to Russia. We have turned to China. We have decided to arm ourselves. We have decided to gather our armies together, and still time and time again we are humiliated and we are put under the cosh. Yet still that does not teach us to raise our hands in humility and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And when we resort to our own devices and leave Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Allah in turn will leave us to those devices that we have looked to resolve our difficulties, and will remove His help from us. It will only be when we turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ask for His aid and His assistance, that we will find His aid and His assistance quick to come. But the question is, Shaykh Uthaymeen rahimullah was asked, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran,
وَقَالَ رَبُّكُمُ ادْعُونِي أَسْتَجِبْ لَكُمْ.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and your Lord says, call upon me and I will respond to your supplication. So the question was that why is it that when we call upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, sometimes our dua, our supplication is not answered. And he gave some very good advice, some etiquettes of how the Muslim makes dua and what our relationship should be with dua and with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he says the first thing that the Muslim should bear in mind and bring about in his heart is sincerity to Allah azza wa jal. That is to say that he is sincere in his dua. That when we make dua, we make it sincerely to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that we do so with an attentive heart. With an attentive mind. That our thoughts are not preoccupied with other than Allah and with other than that which we are asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for. Because this shows sincerity. When I raise my hands to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, asking Him for something, yet I'm thinking about other matters, then that shows that my sincerity in my dua is lacking. So the Muslim has sincerity in his dua, has an attentive heart and mind when making dua. The second thing he should bring about, or she should bring about, is a realization that we are completely and utterly in need of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In fact, we are in dire need of His help. And that He and only He alone is able to help us, to give us that which we request, that which we are asking for, or to save us from that which we fear. It is only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And we bring to mind the fact that Allah is Al-Qawi, He is the All-Powerful. And we on the other hand are weak, incapable. We are incapable of doing anything for ourselves unless Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala aids and assists us. We are unable to clothe ourselves and unless Allah gives us the ability to clothe ourselves. In the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, hadith Qudsi, in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, all of you are naked except for those that I clothe. All of you are hungry except those that I feed. All of you are thirsty except those to whom I give drink to. So we are completely in need of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And again, this is something which we need to bring about in our dua. A complete need. A complete poverty on our side and a need for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His help and His assistance. It's not necessary to use the language of the Quran, Arabic, only in our du'as. Especially if we don't know what the du'a that we're making in Arabic means. If we don't know what we are asking for, we don't know what we are seeking refuge from. It's completely allowed and recommended to make dua in the language that we feel most comfortable with. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He speaks and He understands all languages. So when we ask in the language that we are comfortable with, so that we understand what it is that we are asking for and what it is that we need help in. Thirdly, and this is a very important matter, he says that the Muslim making dua should refrain from the haram. The Muslim making dua should refrain from doing haram because sins are a barrier between us and our dua being answered. The sins that we do in our lives form a barrier, a shield between us and our du'as being answered. So the Muslim refrains from committing sin. And the example he gives is the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, in which he said, indeed Allah the Most High is good and accepts only that which is good. Allah has ordered the believers to do that which He has commanded the messengers. Allah the Most High has said,
يَا أَيُّهَا الرَّسُولُ كُلُوا مِنَ التَّيِّبَاتِ وَأَعْمَلُوا صَالِحًا.
Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, O you messengers, eat of the good things and do righteous deeds. And Allah says with regards to the believers, O you who believe, eat of the good things wherewith which we have provided you with. And then he gives the following example. Then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam gives the following example, a very pertinent example. He says, he mentions the case of a man who has journeyed far and is disheveled and dusty, and who spreads out his hands to the sky, saying, O Lord, O Lord. Whilst his food is unlawful, his drink is unlawful, and he is nourished unlawfully. So how can he be answered?
So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gives the example of a man. And this is pertinent because the things he mentions in the example are pertinent.
He says the man, he has journeyed far and he is dusty and disheveled. We know that travel, journey, or dua during travel, during journeying, is one of the times that it is most likely to be answered. That's why it's custom amongst us that when we know somebody's going on a journey, what do we say? We say, make dua for us. Make dua for me, make dua for my family, because we know that it is more likely that his dua, the dua of a traveler, is answered. So this man, the example which the Prophet ﷺ gives, is of a man who's been on a journey. This journey is, he's dusty and disheveled, which gives us the example that this journey has been a difficult journey, which brings more impetus to the dua being answered. So, but this man is in need. It's like on the day of Arafah, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is boastful in front of His angels, when He says, look at my slaves on the day of Arafah. They have come and they are tired and they are dusty and they are disheveled, and yet they are asking of me. So this is something which Allah is very proud of, that even in times of difficulty, we make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And on a side point, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, whoever wishes for their dua to be answered in times of difficulty, then let him increase in dua during times of ease. Whoever wishes his dua to be answered in times of difficulty, when we are really in need of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then let him increase in his dua during times of ease. And again, on a side point, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that dua is the very essence of worship. It is the backbone of worship. Dua is worship. So when we make dua, we are fulfilling the very reason, the very purpose of our existence, and that is to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the action of dua itself fulfills the very purpose of our creation. So it's something which the Muslim, like I said at the beginning, resorts to often and is very quick to resort to. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentions in the example of the man raising his hands. And this is the sunnah of the prophets, to raise the hand while making dua. To raise the hands, and the scholars have explained, when raising the hands, how should one raise the hands? You see many people who make dua like this. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, do not show the back of your hands towards Allah when making dua. So we should, as the scholars have explained, spread out our hands towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this fashion. So the man raises his hands towards the heavens and he makes dua. He's dusty and he's disheveled and he says, O Lord, O Lord. So he uses the name of Allah, of Rabb, Lord. The Lord of the heavens and the earth. And this is the name that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses, or the attribute that Allah uses many times in the Quran, or when we read the du'as of the Quran. Many, many, many times. Allah uses this attribute, this name of His, Rabb. So everything is there, apparently, for this man's dua to be answered. He raises his hands to the sky. He says, O Lord, he uses Rabb in his dua. He's dusty and he's disheveled, he's on a journey. Yet, the Prophet ﷺ mentioned three things. His food is unlawful. His drink is unlawful. And he is nourished unlawfully. So how can he be answered? How can he be answered? These three things prevent Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala answering the man's dua. And in the second part of the khutbah, we'll discuss the importance of ensuring that our risk, our provision, our income, the money that we earn, the food that we put on the table, the drink that we put on the table, the clothes that we clothe ourselves and our families with, all of it, we must ensure that it is halal. أقولي قولي هذا أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. So we mentioned that sin, committing acts of haram, acts of disobedience, are a barrier between us and our du'as from being answered. An example which the Prophet ﷺ mentioned was that of a man who is on a journey and he's dusty and he's disheveled and he raises his hands and he says, O Lord, O Lord. But then the Prophet ﷺ said, but he is fed from haram, he has drunk from haram, and he is nourished from haram. So how can his du'a be answered? And to put this in context, the Prophet ﷺ said that Allah is shy to turn away from the person who makes dua when he raises his hands. Allah doesn't wish to turn us away. Allah doesn't wish to turn us back empty-handed. But rather Allah wishes, Allah wants to give us that which we have asked for. So the impetus, the responsibility is upon us to make sure that there is no barrier between us and our dua being answered. We have many, many brothers and sisters who are involved in different types of businesses, different types of work, and very little concern goes on with regards to where this income is coming from. We all know, and this is just one example, we all know of a Muslim who owns a convenience store. And behind the till, we find a rack full of alcohol. Every single drink imaginable is there. And above this is the kalima. La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. So when advice is given to the brother, you know, you shouldn't be selling this. He says, it's okay, I don't drink it. I'm only selling it. And in the fridge, we have bacon rashers and other haram food stuff. But his thought process is, it's okay, I'm not drinking it and I'm not eating it. I'm simply making money from it. Because I need to live. I need to feed myself. I need to feed my family. Yet, the Prophet ﷺ said with regards to alcohol, he said, the one who crushes the grapes, and the one who carries it, and the one for whom it is carried, and the one who sells it, and the one who consumes it, all of them receive the curse of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All of them receive the curse of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So what we see at the end of the day is increased money in our bank account, increased money in our till, really is a test from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If we have tawakkul, if we have trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then we would put aside these things which are forbidden for us to deal with. Cigarettes is another example. Even worse than all of that, pornographic magazines being sold by Muslims. And all of this money is used to do what? Not only is it used to feed ourselves and to give drink to ourselves, and to clothe ourselves. But even worse than that, the very people that we are responsible over, our families, our wives, our children, we put haram into their bellies and we clothe them with haram. And then we ask ourselves, why are our du'as not being answered? Why is it that when I raise my hands to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, my du'a is not being answered? So it's vitally important, my dear brothers and sisters, we look at where our income is being derived from and to make sure that it is halal. That by that, removing the possibility of our du'as not being answered. And with sin, what is it that we always do? The Muslim is always doing what? Making istighfar. Asking Allah for forgiveness. Making tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. By removing the sin, we remove the barrier between us and our du'as being answered. So even if we are sinning, even if we have many sins, we remind ourselves that Allah is the one who forgives all sins. We simply need to turn to Him, ask Him for forgiveness. Get that mountain of sin removed from our account. And then he mentions, patience. Patience upon the dua. That when we make dua, we remain patient. Because we understand that the dua of the Muslim is always answered. The dua of the believer is always answered. If Allah does not give us that which we are asking for, then He will give us something as good as what we were asking for, if not better, or He will save us, protect us from an harm which is equivalent to the good that we were asking for, or He will reserve it for Himself on the Day of Judgment and give us something better on that day. As long as what? The believer, the Muslim, when he makes dua, does not say, oh, Allah has not answered my dua, Allah has not answered my dua, Allah has not answered my dua. But rather he remains patient upon his dua. And sometimes you speak to some people and the love of the dua, of making dua, is more important to them, is more beloved to them than the answering of that dua by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They simply love to raise their hands and make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because they feel that sweetness of the dua. They feel in that impoverished state. You see, sometimes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts difficulties in our lives. And some of these difficulties are so extreme that they bring the slave, they bring the abd to his knees. Completely impoverished. Completely in need of his Lord. And when he raises his hands in that state, that was the very purpose of that trial and that tribulation. Because maybe this individual had spent his life away from his Lord. Maybe this individual has spent his life in the enjoyment of this dunya to the expense of his akhirah. So Allah puts a trial in his life which is so severe for this individual that he literally brings him in the dead of night in his bedroom to his knees on the floor weeping for Allah's help. And this is what Allah wanted to happen. This is what Allah wanted for this abd, for this slave to feel completely and utterly impoverished in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the King of Kings, the Lord of the heavens and the earth. So that he may weep, shed tears, raise his hands, ask and Allah will give him. So sometimes the dua itself is more important to the Muslim than the answering of that dua. Because once he gets into that rhythm, that state of making dua, he builds that connection with his Lord. He builds that relationship with his Lord. And that relationship is what then becomes important to this individual. So when he makes dua and his dua is answered, he finds something else to make dua for. And remember, when we make dua, we should not simply make dua for this dunya, for this world. Oh Allah, grant me this job. Oh Allah, grant me this wife. Oh Allah, grant me this car. Oh Allah, grant me an increase in my bank account, and so on and so forth. The Muslim, he balances his dua in favor of the akhirah. Yes, he makes dua for this dunya, no problem. There's no problem making dua for this dunya. But with it, he makes dua more importantly for the akhirah. As is the example in the Quran itself. رَبَّنَا آتِنَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنَةً وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنَةً وَكِنَا عَذَابِ النَّارِ. What do we ask for? We say, oh Allah, grant us good of this world and good of the hereafter and save us from the fire. So in this dua, we are taught three things. One of them for this dunya, two of them for the akhirah. We ask for good of this dunya, and by the way, this is the best of du'as. The best dua that a Muslim can make. And this is a dua which the Prophet ﷺ frequently used to make. And once when he came upon one of his companions who had literally become emaciated, and he asked him, how have you got into this state? And his companion replied, I made dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give me my punishment in this life and save me from the punishment in the hereafter. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam shook his head and said, rather you should have said, رَبَّنَا آتِينَا فِي الدُّنْيَا حَسَنًا وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ حَسَنًا وَكِنَ عَذَابَنَا. Oh, our Lord, grant us good of this life and good of the hereafter and save us from the fire. Because there's no harm in asking for the good of this life, but not at the expense of the akhirah. Because before that, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives the example of what? Of the man who just asks for this life. And he forgets the hereafter. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says of this man, there will be no portion for him in the hereafter. Allah may give him what he asks for in this life, but in the hereafter there will be no portion for him. So the Muslim does not sacrifice his akhirah in expense for his dunya. The Muslim, when he or she raises his hands, he gives due proportion to what is important. So the Muslim realizes that what is important is the life never ending. The life never ending, not this temporal world. So he gives due proportion within his or her dua in regards to that. So he asks for the dunya, but more importantly, he doesn't forget the akhirah. And that is what is vitally important. So another reason for our du'as not to be answered is if we ask for the haram. Or if we ask for breaking of family ties. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, a servant's dua continues to be answered as long as he does not ask for anything sinful or for the breaking of ties of relationship. And as long as he does not become impatient. So we can't ask for haram. This is common sense, right? That we can't ask for something which is forbidden in Islam. And we should never ask for the breaking of family ties. Because the family ties are so, so important. Regardless of how difficult our families can be. And we all have difficult members in our family. Whether they be mothers or fathers or sisters or brothers or uncles or aunts or cousins. We all have members of our families who are difficult. And who cause us difficulty. Maybe we're that member of the family who cause difficulty for others. But the breaking of family ties is completely forbidden. In fact, so much so that we're not even allowed to ask dua for it. Make dua for it. We make dua to bring people closer, to mend the hearts, to resolve our differences. But we don't make dua for breaking of family ties. And this is why, and I'll end with this, when we are told about Iblis and his cohorts and his devils, and he's sitting in his majlis, and each of his devils, each of his cohorts will say, I did this and I did that, and he will say, this is nothing, this is nothing, this is nothing. And then one of them will say, I caused a husband and his wife to separate. He will say, this is good, come and sit by me. Because Iblis even recognizes that breaking of family ties, breaking up of the family unit, is something which then goes on to destroy many, many lives. Many, many lives. So, we don't ask for the breaking of family ties. We don't ask for that which is haram. And we remain patient upon the dua. And we will find it definitely answered. That's the final thing. The advice is, don't say if in your dua. If you want, do this. If you don't, do that. Allah will do whatever He wants anyway. It doesn't need your caveat of if. But you ask with certainty, Allah forgive me. With sincerity, and you will find Allah all forgiving. And if you're asking for that job, or if you're asking for an increase in risk, and you're not getting it, remember, Allah knows and you do not know. What you may be asking for, you believe to be good for you. But Allah in His wisdom, infinite wisdom, knows that what you're asking for is actually bad for you. And that if you are given more wealth, you would become from those people who have pride in their hearts. So Allah keeps you in that impoverished state. Because you are closer to Him in that state than you would be if you were given wealth. So think like that. Think in that manner. That maybe Allah knows that the person that you're asking to marry is not good for you. That they would cause you heartache. That they would cause you difficulty. And for you, your spouse lies somewhere else. So Allah doesn't answer that dua. And similarly, that job that you want so much, maybe Allah knows that it will give you initial happiness, but then the workload will increase and you'll become more depressed and you'll become more anxious and you'll be further away from your children and your wife and your loved ones and so on and so forth. So Allah keeps it away from you. Remember, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows and we do not know. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta. واستغفرك واتوب اليك كيما الصلاه